You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, September 24th, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And at about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, my smartphone told me the other day that it was time to download a new operating system. I would click "remind me later" so I could ignore that irritating message. But finally, the message became so insistent that I gave up and set my phone to download the new operating system overnight. When I turned my phone on the next morning, I found that I was in a new world, a strange world. Changes to the keyboard, changes to the control panel. A bunch of new bells and whistles that were going to take me a while to figure out if I ever had the patience to try. In an admittedly small way, this new operating system was challenging me to change the way I looked at my smartphone. Now, if you've ever switched from Mac to Windows or Windows to Mac or had a new operating system installed on your laptop or your PC, you know what I'm talking about. In spades. New operating systems challenge our old habits. They challenge our old patterns and practices. They challenge our old ways of relating to these machines, these tools that for many people have become an extension of the way we think and act and function in the world. So let's hold that thought about how unsettling it is to change our operating systems as we take a look at the parable we hear Jesus telling his listeners this morning. You probably already know that Jesus used parables as a teaching tool. Many of the parables, like the one this morning, can be strange and unsettling. They challenge the listener to reorient themselves, to get out of themselves and their prejudices and their presuppositions, and to imagine a new way of looking at the world. It's certainly a strange story. The mysterious landowner shows up at the marketplace early in the morning and offers a denarius, which was about the equivalent of what we might think of as minimum wage, to some laborers who were standing around hoping for work. And then he comes back later in the morning and again in the middle of the afternoon, finds some more unemployed laborers and sends them off to work in his vineyard and says, I'll pay you what is right. He doesn't describe what he means by right. They just have to trust him that they'll be treated fairly. The story gets even stranger when he returns to the marketplace at the end of the day and sends some more off to work without promising them anything. And now for the really strange part. The landowner starts paying off the laborers in reverse order, beginning with the last and finishing with the first. And he pays them all exactly the same thing. The one denarius he promised to the poor guys who had to work all day for it. Now, if this was your next door neighbor telling you this story about some people he'd hired to paint his house, you'd say, you're crazy. And you'd agree with the guys who said that who worked all day for the same wage that was paid to the people who didn't work nearly as hard or didn't work at all. You know, you'd agree with those guys who worked all day who said, wait a minute, that's not fair. You know, in the way we think about economics, this just is contrary to all our ideas about what's fair, what's not. You have to earn what you get. Handouts aren't fair and right. But for Jesus, there's a different economy at work here, God's economy. Let's look at the difference. In the economy we operate in, there's a limited supply of everything, whether it's food or housing or fuel or money or any commodity. And the cost of obtaining the commodity is governed by the demand for it. The more people that want something that's in limited supply, the higher the cost and the greater the competition for it. We compete with each other for the limited supply of commodities that are desirable. God's economy, however, isn't based on scarceness and competition. God's economy is based on fullness and abundance. Where there's more than enough for everyone, competition is irrelevant. Where there's more than enough for everyone, you have an economy that's based on participation and giving and receiving, and not an economy based on competition. In God's economy, there is more than enough for everyone. The economy of grace and love and healing and forgiveness is different from the economy of commodities and scarceness. Come on, Lex. Be practical now. Be realistic. All this grace and love stuff, that's nice for your Sunday sermons, but it's not the real world. It's not the world we live in. I know you. I know that secretly that's what some of you, maybe most of you, are saying right now. I know you're thinking, old Lex, he's saying Jesus is nice, and he wants us to be nice too. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is a whole lot more subversive than that. Jesus is not about being nice. No, Jesus is using this most difficult, this most challenging, this most countercultural and counterintuitive of all of his parables to tell you something really difficult. Jesus is saying, you need to change your operating system. You need to change the way you understand reality. The way you see reality is through the lens of an economy you've created. The way God sees the world, which is the way the world is, you know, God sees the world as it is, not as we too often see it. You know, Paul's observation in the first chapter of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you know, now we see through a mirror, through a glass darkly, then we will see God face to face. You know, God is seeing the world clearly. We are seeing the world not so clearly. The way God sees the world is through God's economy of fullness and grace. But to see the world as it is, to see the world as God sees it, you got to change your operating system. You got to change your mind and your heart. That's what Jesus means when he talks about repentance. You know, repentance isn't about saying you're sorry for this or that naughty thing you may have done. Repentance means to change your mind and change your heart. And you know, it's not complicated. You'll change your mind. You'll change your heart. You'll change your operating system through prayer and service. It's really simple and really challenging. Daily prayer through contemplative silence, through meditation, through asking for God for justice and healing and reconciliation. Daily, daily, daily. Did I say that often enough? Daily prayer. And daily acts of service and compassion and kindness. Not necessarily big Mother Teresa-like gestures, although those are important for sure. But small acts of kindness and generosity. You know, choosing not to be reactive when somebody says something that hurts you or offends you. You know, don't return violence for violence. Just take it in and instead of offering them violence, offer them compassion. Choosing not to feel slighted or hurt when someone gets more than their fair share. Oh, that's just not fair. Let it go. Do you have what you need? Let it go. Choosing not to puff up your own ego by putting someone else down. I mean, God, that's just something we all do. You know, when we gossip about someone or say something disparaging about someone, we're just boosting our own poor, sad little egos. Let it go. Just, that's not the way to understand yourself as being God's beloved, to put someone else down. Let that go. And sharing the little bit you have with someone who has even less than you do. Daily, daily, daily. Did I say that often enough? Daily. That's how our operating systems gradually, almost imperceptibly, will change. And eventually we'll begin to live in God's economy of fullness and grace. The economy where there's enough of what's really important. You know, the great spiritual teachers, each in a different way, tell us that the deepest human desires, the deepest thing we all want, we don't want stuff. You know, that's not what we really desire. What we really desire is to know and be known, and to love and be loved. To know and be known, to love and be loved. You know, when I was driving over the hill this morning on my way to church, I was listening to an interview with a wonderful Irish poet, priest, and philosopher named John O'Donohue. He's unfortunately no longer with us, but what a marvelous, incredibly insightful spiritual teacher was John O'Donohue. And he was saying that in our current age, in our age where we're so really invested in the way we use devices to communicate with each other, that we've lost the art of friendship. We got a lot of acquaintances. I mean, look at your contacts list on your cell phone. How many contacts do you have in your cell phone? A whole bunch, right? I mean, I do. But most of them are acquaintances. They're not the kind of deep friends that we can only cultivate through intentional communication and community with each other. And the deep friend, the deep friendship, the intimate friend, the loving friend, is the one who can tell us when we need to be held to account about something, right? That's the most wonderful thing that the friend can do for us, is to tell us when we're missing the mark, to tell us when we're off track, to tell us who can see something about us that we can't see about ourselves. And so we need to cultivate those friendships daily, daily, daily. That's what it means to, and you know, it's funny, I'd already written a sermon before I heard John O'Donohue say that. And he was making this very point, that what we really want in life, that our deepest desires are to be known, and then to know others, to know and be known, to love and be loved. And that's what God's economy is all about. These deepest desires, they can only be satisfied as we live in God's economy, the economy of fullness and grace. Now, if I had time to preach another sermon right now, and you'll be happy to know that I don't, but if I did, We talk about the story of God feeding the people manna when they were wandering in the wilderness. That was certainly what was on Jesus' mind and heart when he taught this parable. You know, you remember the manna was sweet and pure, and it came every day. And there was just enough for the day. The manna couldn't be hoarded or it'd go bad. It would get sour, Scripture tells us. So selfishness and creating scarcity to stimulate competition just didn't work. And that's one reason in the prayer that Jesus taught us, we say, give us today our daily bread. You know, notice, we don't say, give me today my daily bread. We say, give us today our daily bread. And we ask just for enough for this day. Lord, just give me enough for this day. Not for tomorrow, not for next week. Just give me enough for this day. And we ask that for all of us, not just for me. You see, that's God's economy. But I said I wouldn't preach another sermon. So, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard is only going to make sense when you get a new operating system. When you begin to see and live in the world as God has created it. Prayer and service, daily. You know, you'll find your need to prove yourself. You'll find that your need to judge others. You'll find that your need to be superior. That all just falls away. It's totally irrelevant. You already have everything you need. You are known and loved, so you can know and love. In God's economy, there is always enough. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.